and he was a scientist, and he was an engineer, and he traveled all around the world. He never made it to China. China was so close, but he went to Japan, and he went everywhere as an engineer. So this is what I grew up with, and I was very scared of my dad. Are any of you scared of your parents? Do any of you, like, fear your parents? Like, are any of you there? I don't know if any of you care. But I was scared of my dad. To me, he was, I didn't know him. He was always busy. He was always studying. He was always writing articles for scientific journals. He was a politician on the side. So my dad was an important man, and he was always busy. So when I had to get in the car and drive with him, I was like, oh, what am I going to say to my dad? I don't know how to talk to him. He was so big and important. I was so, do you know the word shy? I was so shy and quiet that I didn't know what to say. I was scared of my dad. Okay, so that's my dad. But I admire him. Here's my mom. She is 85 now. My dad died 25 years ago of cancer. This is a picture of my mom. And she is still hanging in here. Okay, now I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I grew up. These are old pictures. You know, guys don't know these are much, but I want to show you the picture. I'm going to go right up here. And do you see this picture? Because I'll show it to you guys in a second. See that picture? How many kids are in the picture? You can't. Just take a guess.
9.
Close. We had 8 kids in our family. Good job, and we couldn't even see how many.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, not bad. Okay, so I grew up in a big family, in a huge house. It had 3 stories. 1, 2, 3, with lots of rooms and a basement. It was an old house, it was big. And you would think that I grew up in a household that was fun and happy, right? Wrong. I had a very, very painful growing up. My parents were so busy. My mom, everybody loved my mother. And everywhere we went, even when we traveled, like my dad took us to Europe, everywhere we went, my mom knew people. I remember in Germany going to a famous castle, and no matter where we went, people would know my mom. And so we were walking out to go to the castle, and someone was coming down, and they were saying, Frida! And we had to stop, and we were running alongside the horses, the carriage and horses that were carrying, and my mom was talking to these people. And later on, they said, let's get together in Munich, in Germany. And so I thought, even in Europe, people know my parents. I was like, I can't. And I didn't know my parents growing up. They never spoke to me. They never had time for me. And so even when all our big family was sitting around the dinner table every night, all 10 of us, I can remember never talking. All my brothers and sisters were yuck. They said a lot of things. They talked a lot. And I was so quiet and shy. You'd never know that now, but I was very quiet and shy. And so every day, all my life, I would never speak at the dinner table. But I grew up, my dad, do you know this word, atheist? My dad was an atheist. Do you know that word? Okay, it means my dad did not believe in God. Okay, he was very smart. He thought he was too smart for God. He believed in evolution. That's where we grew up. It's just like you know God and evolution. But my mom was Catholic to me.
Can you tell them?
Okay, Catholic. So I grew up in a religious home. And this is a picture of me doing religious things. Okay, here we are. I was a little girl, and can everyone see that? I'm just dressed up in a white outfit. I didn't understand what I was doing with the Catholic. Okay, it was just dead religion. Jimmy, dead religion. How do you translate that?
Dead.
Dead. Dead. It meant nothing. like what you would do is a Buddhist or a Hindu, it meant nothing. It was just something you did to make yourself feel better. But I didn't feel better. And so, here's a picture of some of my government churches. We're going to church. We got all dressed up and we would go to Catholic church. And I went to Catholic school, I went to Catholic church, and I knew one thing. I knew God was not in the Catholic church. I knew there was no God in the Catholic church. And so growing up, I thought, I wonder where God is. I wonder where he is. And as I was growing up, bad things were happening in my home. Okay? There was a lot of, I know you guys are all familiar with this, pornography. Do you know, can you translate that word? I know it's very common in China, very common with you guys, I know. But I grew up with a lot of pornography, my brothers, and it did bad, sad, horrible things in our home. And it caused, even later in life, it caused divorces among my brothers. It caused hurtful things to happen to the girls in my family. I won't go into detail, but things were very painful because my brothers were addicted. They had to have pornography. So a lot of bad things. You can guess what could have happened. And it was probably the worst that you could imagine. So there was a lot of that. Okay, another thing that was in our home because our parents were too busy for us. They really didn't know what was going on with drugs, Jimmy.
Drugs.
Marijuana. How do you translate marijuana? Thank you. Okay. I could go to a certain place in that house and open a door and get a pipe and get marijuana anytime I wanted to. And believe me, when you grow up in a house with a lot of pain in your heart, you take drugs. You just, it covers up the pain in your heart. So there was drugs. There was alcohol. Okay, there was alcohol. When I helped my mother move out of this big house on the third floor in the spaces behind the roof, there were alcohol bottles covering that secret passageway underneath the roof. And my mom was like, where did all this come from? And I was like, oh, Mom, where were you? Where were you? You didn't even know what was going on with your own children. I remember when I was 13, 14 years old, I remember being stopped by a policeman. And a bunch of kids and I were out drinking, getting drunk. And the policeman stopped us and told us to give us all our alcohol. And I had a winter coat on, a big winter coat, and I stuffed it up my coat. I was like, why? I wasn't going to do that. Any cop tell me what to do. And I was, if you look at my eyes during that time in my life, I have some pictures and they're hard. But I go, you look at pictures and go, who is that girl? I don't know that girl. But now you see a woman whose eyes are soft. And I love you guys. You don't know what I love you, but I do. And if I have the opportunity to love you, I will. But back then my heart was a hard rock that could not be broken. So there was drugs. I'd go out all night. I'd sneak out of the house and go out all night with my friends, and my parents were like, they didn't even know. One night, I was 13 years old, I went to a neighbor's house, and totally got what Americans call schwacked, so drunk that I couldn't walk. It was late at night, I collapsed out in the yard, and I couldn't get up. I was so drunk, I just passed out, and my parents never knew, but they didn't know what was going on. We didn't know what was going on in our lives. Okay, at that time when things were getting really bad, I started asking myself, there's got to be a God. There's got to be more to life than this pain. There's so much change. And so I went to two churches by myself. Okay, I was raised as a Catholic, right? And I thought, there's no God in the Catholic Church. I knew that. I don't know how I knew it, but I knew it. Then I went to the church down the road, and it was dead. I remember him talking about golf. You know, that little ball, and he's swing.
Golf.
I remember the pastor was like, God's not here. And then my grandmother belonged to a cult. A religion that's really false, like really, really, really out there, bad. And I thought, well, where is God? God wasn't there. God wasn't in any of the churches I went to. And so this rebellion just, my heart just rebelled. I was angry, I was hurting. And I just did everything I could to cover up the pain in my life. And then one day, my cousin from Sweden was visiting us in America, and one of my brothers and I were outside late at night. It was at 11 o'clock at night. I think it was the year after my 7th grade. I was 13. And we were sitting outside in the dark. And they were talking about that there's no God. And I was sitting there thinking, no, they must be right. I really, really tried to find God, but I don't know how to find them. They must be right. And I remember my heart was like, it was a horrible thought to me that there was no God. My dad didn't believe there was a God. So why should I believe in a God? And in my heart was hoping. And as they were talking about this, discussing this, I just looked up at the sky like in despair. And I looked at the night sky, and it's like such a vivid, such a clear memory for me. I looked up in the sky, and I saw all the stars, and I saw the order and the power and the intricacy of creation. So I looked up into the night sky and I thought, no, they're wrong. There's got to be a God. Here I am, I believed in evolution. I didn't know there was a God. And he goes, what's up? I said, no, they're wrong. There's got to be a God. I just don't know where to find him. I did not know where to find God. And I was so sad about that. So that began all out partying. How do you say partying? Drinking, drugs, sex. Went at it, hard and strong. Then, when I was almost your age, it's Gary posted that she just turned 16. When I was 16, there was a guy came to our little hometown in Pennsylvania. I grew up in Pennsylvania. He came from CIU, where Emma is, right? And he started Bible study. At that time, my heart was really gone. I was out. I was back on the track to becoming dead. I don't think I would be alive right now if I had not encountered what came next in my life. Does everyone know this? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so my mom never talked to me or intervened or anything. She just came up to me one day. She said, if you don't go to that Bible study one time, I'm going to ground you. Thank you, Mom. Okay, so that's when I was 16 years old, and I went to this Bible study. At the same time, somebody, somewhere, on the mission field. He was also 15 years old. My husband is so handsome. So there's a picture of him. He grew up in Central America, in Mexico, Honduras, and Costa Rica. His parents were, he said, can you help?
You're
funny. His parents were missionaries, Jimmy?
Missionaries?
No, I know. Yeah. And so when I was 15, he was 15, he grew up on a mission field in a faraway country. And the guy who was leading this Bible study started going to the Bible study and looking at the Bible. He was teaching, this is the Bible I got when I was 15 years old.
Wow.
And this was gone through Bible college and seminary. Started at the PID for my undergraduate, and then I went on to the seminary for my master's degree. This is the Bible I used. And he was teaching from the Bible. Wow! I couldn't believe it. The Bible. I had never seen the Bible in class ever. Was that? God is near. That's amazing. Now God, I knew God was something about this Bible. I didn't know what, but I knew there was something about this Bible. And I'm like, that's it. I don't have to believe any man's words. I don't have to believe the Catholic Church or this person or that person. It was like, this is a communication to me. So there was something in this book that attracted me. And a couple months later, this man, his name is Jack, he said to me, Jennifer, do you want to become a Christian? I was like, yes, I do. So he explained to me what the Bible said about how to come to know him as your personal Savior and Lord and what that meant. And that was such a turning point in my life. And all I did was pray a simple prayer. I said, Lord, God, I believe what you said in the Bible of Jesus Christ, who was God from before time began, never had a beginning, never had an end. The God who created those stars in that universe is the same God who came down at a point of time in history and became a man to pay the penalty for my sin. I knew I was a sinner. Some people have trouble believing they're sinners. I knew because my heart was full of awfulness. It was still it. I still know my own heart. So that night I simply prayed. And when I got home to my house that was full of such pain, when I walked into that house again for the first time as a Christian. I knew something happened. This house is so big that it has five staircases in this house. It's big. And when I walked up one of the staircases to go to my bedroom, I knew one thing. I knew that light had come in my heart. And I couldn't explain that. And it's hard for me even to explain to you what that was like, but I knew that I was living in darkness, and I knew that the light had come. It was remarkable. It was like if you were in a pitch dark room. Just imagine yourself being in a place so black that you cannot see your hand. That's what it was like. And all of a sudden, someone turns on a flashlight. Ding! And it was like that shower of light that day that I came to become a Christian. So stunning to my soul. It was remarkable. Did I still have a lot of pain? Did I still have a lot of awful things to deal with? Yeah. During that time, shortly after, I became a bicyclist, and I would ride my bike several thousand miles in the summer. And I would travel across the United States on my bike. Sometimes we would ride like 100 miles a day. And here's a picture of me with the other kid that we went on the cycling ride with. So this was after I became a Christian. And this is us at a Bible study. And this is us right after we got back from the riding several thousand miles on the trip. And during that time, there are pictures of you. If you could see that picture a little better, you would not recognize me because my face and my heart were so... All I can say is they were angry and hurting and hard. I felt so alone in life. Even as a Christian, there was so much to deal with. And I just want to read something to you guys out of this book. And it has to do with this thing that happened to me when I became a Christian, this light and this darkness. And you might not get this all, but I just wanted to read it. There's a verse from Hebrews 9:27 that says, "For it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment." That means that God is a God who must punish sin because he's perfect. So he's perfect in his justice, but he's perfect in his love. And I just want to read you a little bit about the image of darkness and blackness and light. Hebrews 9:27. Okay, darkness. So I knew that I was in darkness. In my heart, in my soul, I knew that I was in darkness. And I knew that light had come because I asked God to come into my life. And I just want you to think quickly about what it means to be without God. And I know for some of you don't believe in God. I know that. I was there. I didn't believe in God. My dad didn't believe in God. So I know where you guys are at. But I also know now the Bible says, I mean, this has become my life. And he might say, so what if there's a God? I'm separated from God now, spiritually, so why not just keep going? And yes, if you're not a Christian, you have that separation from God right now, and yet God's goodness is so much part of your life. I mean, you can just imagine the thing that you eat, and the thing that you enjoy, and the friend that you talk to, and the friend that you cute with, and all the things that you love, old mother, and Chinese something, and all the things that you guys love, that's all part of God's goodness that I enjoy, that you enjoy, even though you're apart from God. Just imagine all goodness were withdrawn from earth. And that's what it's like if you were to die without Jesus Christ. It's God's presence. And his goodness is totally gone, totally withdrawn. And so that's all I want to share. Just that you don't want to be left in a position in your life. You never know when life is going to end, that you are going to be separated from this God. So my urgency to you, pay attention to what you're learning within. And let me just show you something quickly. Jimmy, I just want to share
Romans 6:23.
Can you put it on the chart? Yeah, sure. Okay. Romans 6:23. It goes like this. Okay. So the wages. Do you know what wages are?
I can plug the text.
Oh, wow, cool. Okay. Wages are what you earn, right? If you have a job, you earn wages. So the wages of sin is death. And what death means in the Bible is separation from God eternally, forever and ever. So the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Okay, I brought a gift. It's your week's birthday. And if I have a gift for each one of you, and suppose I won't give it to you, Harry, right away. So if I gave it to Tony, can you? Who did I give it to? Harry. Harry, let's take this. Okay, you said, oh, wow, that's nice. I'll just put it in my room at the end of it, and I'll put it on the bureau. And he said, oh, that's a nice bureau. Wow, Well, that's great. Okay, that wouldn't really be, you wouldn't really have received it, would you? You're just sort of like, ask something that Jennifer gave me. Or if I gave it to you, what if I gave it to you and you said, I want that gift, I'm going to open it. Okay? Because that would be your gift, wouldn't it? It would be yours. You would say, I want it, I'm going to take that, I'm going to use it, I'm going to keep that. Okay? That's what the Bible means about a free gift. That God gives you something. It's free and it's amazing. It's life. It's life forever. It's goodness forever. So, this is a gift. And there's another verse. This is Ephesians 2:8-9.
Do you want Chinese?
Yes, Chinese. Yeah. Okay. Can you guys translate, can anybody translate that into English for me? Do you know what that says in English? Anybody? Howie, do you know how to translate that into English? No? You can't do it. You can do something wrong, right? Can you translate it?
Yeah.
Martin, you can translate. Yeah, he translated. He's the law.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Go ahead. Can you do it? Alright. It says, this is what it says. Watch. Now it's an English. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is what? A gift of God. Not as a result of your work, but you should first before God. God says you cannot do it. You cannot be perfect. Therefore, I must put it in. But I want to give you a free gift. And all you have to do is take it. That's for your room. Take it. Okay, your room. Would you do me a favor and open it? It's nothing big. It's just to give a demonstration. Yay, Judy, thank you. Did anybody celebrate the Chinese New Year Festival?
Yes.
What did you do? Yeah, you made a cake. That's just nothing. Marlene, did you get a moon cake?
No.
Who got a moon cake? Who?
What?
Who got a moon cake? You're kidding me! Nobody got a moon cake?
No.
I got it.
You got one?
Not that
well. I'm so annoyed
on
you. Okay. Did she get a moon cake?
No. Believe on his name. That's how you receive this gift, by saying, God,
God, I believe what you have done for me in Christ Jesus. You're the one who took the wrath and punishment that I deserve for my sin. So the God of the universe poured out his wrath for sin, his punishment for sin, on the God of the universe. God pouring out wrath on God for you. Why? Because he loves you perfectly. And he doesn't want you to be separated. Because when you're separated from God, and isolation, and it's inevitable. Even if you don't believe, it's still going to be inevitable that someday you will come into judgment with the God who declared himself in the Bible. So that's what I wanted to share with you today, to encourage you all to consider what God says in the Word of God. And believe, simply believe. So here we have the illustration, you have to take some and eat it.
Sure.